Good morning, everybody. Our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. In preceding verses, we read of Paul's approval of the killing of Stephen, the persecution of the church, and yet works of the apostles. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Very good. You need more practice. Yes. Our Te Rangapai Tapu, the Holy Gospel set for today, is from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning at the first verse. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti te karoria ki te atua. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they replied. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Te rongopai tēnei ātea aiti. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe matitia ea te kupu mana.
Thanks, Harold. Sorry. Kia ora, it's whānau. It's good to see you. How are you doing? Good, good. Wonderful passage this morning. I suppose I just want to say one very simple thing, but it's probably going to take me about half an hour to say it. No, it won't. I hope not. For your sake and mine and my lunch's sake, which is probably going to be a pie. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about that and get back to the passage. This is just a wonderful, beautiful passage of Jesus restoring Peter, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot going on in this passage. But it strikes me just from the very beginning, it's this kind of wonderful moment, this wonderful morning. They've worked all night. They've been trying to fish and, you know, failed. They are fishermen. They know what they're doing, but there's just no, you know, there's nothing happening. And, you know, you can just imagine the morning and the beach and just this sort of beautiful calm. And then there's Jesus there and somebody who's lit a fire on the beach who says, "Put your nets down on the other side." Again, as he had once before. "Put your nets down on the right side." And of course, you know, they do. And they haul in this great catch of fish. And the disciple whom Jesus loved, you know, as it's said in the text, says to Simon Peter, "It's the Lord." And he just throws on his clothes, jumps in the water, and is ahead of everyone else going to see him. And this is Simon Peter, who, as we know, has just a day or two earlier betrayed Jesus. Like they all did. I mean, all the disciples did. But somehow for Simon Peter, it was a deal that was bigger in a way because of what he'd put on the line. He'd put his heart and his soul on the line. He'd put his pride on the line, actually, in some ways. Because do you remember what he said? And I just thought it was really good to remind ourselves. In John's Gospel, because he says, you know, the same thing in several Gospels, you know, and it's recorded in slightly different words, but it goes out this way in St. John's Gospel. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow later." And Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you." Those were his words. "I will lay down my life for you." And that was his desire, really. Do you think? I reckon that was. I don't think he was lying at all. I think he meant it. I think he thought that's what he could and would do. You know, "I will lay down my life for you. That's how great I'm going to be for you. You know, and that's how much I love you as well. Actually, I think you're the best. And I'm going to lay down, I will lay down my life for you." And actually, Jesus knows Simon Peter really well, and he can see into his heart, and I bet it breaks Jesus' heart as he says to him, "Will you lay down your life for me? Because I know actually that you won't, at least not yet." "Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you deny me three times." That's what it's going to be like. And then, of course, we get that bit, and it's recorded in the other Gospels, where he does, you know. I mean, it's recorded in John's Gospel as well. He denies him three times, and then the cock crows, you know. And he, you know, people are like, "Oh, you're one of the disciples, aren't you? You're one of Jesus' followers. You're one of them, one of those people from Galilee." And again he says, "No, I'm not. you know, man, I am not. Woman, I am not. You know, he's like, no, that's not me. I'm not one of those. And then, as it says in Luke's gospel, and the Lord turned, a cock crowed, and the Lord turned, and he must have been, you know, Simon Peter maybe by the fire over here, Jesus being tried and tested, you know, in the building, and he looks round at that moment when the cock crows and meets Simon Peter's eye. And it says, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, before a cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And then it says those words, those painful words, and he went out and wept bitterly. And you would, wouldn't you? And we have, haven't we, many times, many of us, when something goes, we realize, isn't it? Do you think it's when we realize that deeply what we've done, whatever it is, in whatever circumstance, and it hits us like a lead balloon or something, you know, it hits us so deep that tears come even. Even for those of us who aren't necessarily used to crying sometimes, absolutely, I don't know what the word, what's a good word? Gutted, you know, but worse than gutted, it's deeper, it's more meaningful, it's more hurtful. We're wounded somehow, aren't we? Because we've wounded somebody and we realize the depths of the wound, of the wrong, of the, I don't know, anyway, soulful, yeah. So that's the sort of situation that Simon Peter's in. That's where he is at. And he doesn't really, there's no coming back from that for him because Jesus is dead. And he's done it. And that's it, you know. So what does he do? He just, having spent 3 years following this great man, this wonderful person who he's even confessed is the Messiah and who he loves and he's absolutely let down. What else is there to do? He goes back to his old, the way of life he knows, the way he knows best, fishing. And he gets his mates and he says, come on, let's go fishing. Those are the words recorded in the gospel. Let's go fishing. And so they do, you know, do the thing they know so well. What else are we going to do? And then there's that moment, there's a light on the beach, they throw your nets over, it's the Lord, and he jumps in the water, he's just herring it for Jesus, straight to Jesus, and they have this wonderful breakfast, and it's just beautiful. And then Jesus does this thing that is so painful and so glorious for Simon Peter. He says, Simon, do you love me? And Simon says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he does know. And he says, feed my sheep, you know. And he says it again, Simon, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs, you know. Simon, do you love me the third time? And man, not just the penny drops, but there's healing in it, but it's a painful healing. It reminds me of that bit, you know, where the Eustace, if you've ever read it, in the where he's become a dragon, and in the C.S. Lewis books, Narnia books, and he has those layers peeled off so that he can be himself again, because underneath it all, he's not a dragon, he's himself, he's a little boy. But to get down all through all of those layers is a painful thing, and Aslan has to rip them off with his claws. You know, but gently, but he has to use a claw to get down through all of that layer of dragon so that the little boy can come out again and be himself. And he says for the third time, Simon Peter, do you love me? And what does it say? Simon, you know, Peter was hurt because the Lord asked him a third time, Simon, do you love me? But it was a good hurt. Do you know what I mean? It was the same hurt in some ways of the betrayal, because it reached that depth, and it had to reach that depth for Simon Peter to know that healing. Does that make sense? And so Jesus goes all the way to that place where he was, that place of sorrow, of wounding, of grief, of everything. And to go there is painful for him. But to go there, and he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he says, feed my lambs, or, you know, the third, which they're slightly different each time. And then he says, and this penny didn't drop for me until just very recently, but I think, you know, all of that is restoration for Simon Peter, and it's restoration that goes to the very depths of the deal. You know what I mean? And then, you know what his words were? His original words, Simon Peter's words, were, Lord, I'll lay down my life for you, weren't they? I will lay down my life for you. And then he failed. He didn't do it. And he's gutted because he meant it. I love you that much, but yet I chickened out. And Jesus is like, I know you love me. You know, do you love me? Yes, you know, Lord, you know I love you. You know, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. And then he says, and truly I say to you, you know, when you were younger, you put your belt on, you know, you went where you wanted. But when you're older, someone will put a belt around you and lead you. And he said this to indicate the kind of death that Simon Peter would die. And he's saying, you know what you said, you know your love, that desire. You will go there. You will do that. That will, you know, you won't fail again. That will, and it's a real restoration. It's not a kind of like, oh, you're going to die for me, you know, just grin and bear it type thing. That's what he wanted. He's like, I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus says, you know what? Your love, your heart, you will receive, you know, you will do it. Does that make sense? So it's like an extra, even more kind of affirmation. And then Jesus says, you know, he's like, you will be able to do it this time, if that's what you want, you know. And then he's like, follow me, just, you know. And so Simon Peter is like, you know, taken out of his dragon skin, and he's there, and he's like, yeah, I can follow you. I think this is a wonderful restoration story. And there's lots, you know, it's going to mean a lot of different things to a lot of people. But I just wanted to say about that getting down to the depths thing. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it, in our lives? And, you know, being honest, and I think if we're all honest with each other, I chicken out of going to the depths a lot of the time when I'm praying. Because, you know, I've got to get on with the day. I don't want to be sitting there actually thinking about, you know, all those things and bringing them and putting them before the Lord. But when I do, sometimes there are tears. And when I do, the Lord is able to reach to those deep places and say, you know, whatever it is that needs to be said, you know, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know, I love you. Or in my case, whatever it is, you know, for that thing. But he's able to heal me. There's a book that was written by, a guy that I knew in England who became a Christian through this long story, and I won't tell it now, but this guy in Athens who wrote a book. Anyway, I'll just, and it was called Wounded by Love, Wounded by Love. And it was all about the love of the Lord. And you know how Jesus says, you know, and he asked for the third time, and Peter was grieved, you know, Peter was wounded, Peter was hurt that he asked him the third time. And it's that wounded by love, it's that pain that we need to kind of It's not self-flagellation pain or anything, and it's not us doing it. It's us allowing the Lord to go to that deep place of wounding, that deep place of maybe it's betrayal or something where we feel or know that we've let someone down, we've let the Lord down, we've let others down, and allowing the Lord to go to the depths of that place. And it might be painful. We might be wounded by love, but it's by love that we're wounded. And the Lord's able then to bring healing to that place, to bring something out from that place. Okay, I think I've said enough on that. Does that make sense? Yeah. I know it's not really something we talk about, though, is it, in church very much? And it's sometimes called the gift of tears. That's what Peter certainly had, you know. He wept bitterly. and then he was hurt when Jesus asked him the third time. But it was a good hurt. And there, you know, throughout the centuries of Christianity, since the word go and all the way through, there's people talked about this, talked about that kind of... Yeah, it's a sort of repentance. It is a repentance, but it's more than just repentance, isn't it? It's a rebirth. It's a healing. It's a kind of a reaching down into those real deep wounds and finding love, finding life, finding healing, finding grace. And so they call it sometimes the gift of tears. So again and again, it's been called that throughout Christian history. And one of the oldest poems or songs that was, I don't know if it was a song that was sung or a poem that was said, I think it's just a poem probably, but it's an Irish one from, I don't know, it would have been like 700s, 800s maybe, I don't know. Grant me tears, O Lord. And it says, grant me tears, O Lord, to blot out my sins. Doesn't mean like, obviously, you know, I'm going to blot out my sins by my own tears. It's like, only you can forgive me. It's this. It's the whole thing we've just been talking about. All those that grant me tears, O Lord. Go to that deep place to blot out my sins. May I not cease from them, O God, until I have been purified. May my heart be burned by the fire of redemption. Grant me pure tears. When I contemplate my sins, grant me tears always. For greater the claims of tears on cheeks. Grant me tears when rising, grant me tears when resting. Beyond your every gift altogether, for love of you, Mary's son. Grant me tears in bed to moisten my pillow so that his dear ones may help to cure the soul. Grant me contrition of heart so that I may not be in disgrace, O Lord. Protect me and grant me tears. For sexual sins, grant me tears, O Creator, flowing in streams from my eyes. For my anger, my jealousy, and my pride, a foolish deed, in pools from my inmost parts bring forth tears. My falsehoods, my lying, and my greed, grievous the three. To banish them all from me, O grant me tears. And I guess that could be our prayer. It's a good prayer to pray. It's not a dangerous prayer to pray, I think. It's one that costs because you've then got to take the time. And I'm sharing this as someone who chickens out from it most of the time. But every now and then when we let the Lord go there, it's such a blessed relief and healing. But it does mean bearing our souls to him. So should we just pray? Lord, we thank you for the wonderful and beautiful and hospitable way that you come to us to restore us, that you came to Peter to restore him with the breakfast on the beach and those gentle words, wounding but healing. And loving words. Just pray, Lord, that you'd give us grace to know when the time is right to have that kind of conversation with you, to go there with you. Lord, we thank you for your generosity, for your great love, for your death and your resurrection, for your the fact that you restore us at the deepest places, that you forgive our sins, and that you heal our wounds. By your wounds we are healed. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. May we grow in your love and grace and in your life every day, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. Please stand as we continue in worship.
The Lord is here. So lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And we give you thanks and praise for the gospel we have received. Christ died for our sins. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Is that on the screen? Okay. It's just, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. And we'll say that each time. Death comes to all through Adam, and sin reigns for a time. New life without end comes through Christ, and he reigns forever. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Death is swallowed up in victory, the victory that you give us in Christ. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We have been crucified with Christ and live his risen life to praise you forever with angels and archangels, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as we remember Jesus, your Son, the good things he did, the people he healed, and the way he served, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us his body and his blood. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. And after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So pour out your Holy Spirit upon us now to empower us to live lives like Jesus, full of love for one another, for you, and for this world you long to save. United in Christ with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And we sit or kneel to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. And deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share the one bread. Hairimai te kāhui ati atua. Hairimai ki te tepu ati karaiti. Come, God's people, and come to share Christ's heavenly food.